Maybe you can provide us with some tips. And
maybe I'll be able to give you some advice. Yeah.
Well, we'd appreciate that.
Okay. Well, I want to talk today about relationship marketing, or, you know, customer relationship management also. It's a marketing strategy that focuses on developing relationships with customers rather than focusing on transactions. This results in customers feeling friendly about your company. Relationship marketing emphasizes qualitative research over demographics, and it usually requires a corporate memory of individual customers. The benefit of relationship marketing is that it increases customer loyalty, which makes customers buy more from you and rave more about you to their friends. So, and it'll also help you with charging higher prices, and we'll get into that in a minute. Developing customer relationships can be a great way to grow your business and profits. Steve Gastro actually wrote a book on the topic called We, the Ideal Customer Relationship. And in Gastro's first chapter, he provides compelling evidence for developing customer relationships, stating, relationships have become powerful differentiators. Customers can't tell if your product is better than your competitor's product, but they can tell if they have a better relationship with you than with your competitor. So relationship marketing is a strong way to differentiate you in your customer's mind. Since we live in a proof-driven society, let me share some research with you. Try not to doze off as I recite some statistics. In his research, Steve Yastro found that 79% of people are more likely to buy from a business they have a relationship with rather than a business with the best prices. Similarly, 86% would be more likely to refer a business they have a relationship with than to refer a business with the best prices. So you can charge a price premium for having relationship marketing. With these persuasive numbers, why don't more companies practice relationship marketing in earnest? Well, it turns out that relationship marketing is kind of hard, primarily because companies have to be consistent about it. And we all know how hard it is for companies to remain consistent. Dan Ariely explains the science behind this in Chapter 4 of his book, Predictably Irrational. He says that we live in two different worlds, one governed by social norms and one governed by market norms. He writes that social norms are wrapped up in our social structure and our need for community. These are usually warm and fuzzy. Instant paybacks are not required. You may help move your neighbor's couch, but this doesn't mean he has to come right over and move yours as well. There's nothing warm and fuzzy about the world ruled by market norms, however. The exchanges are sharp-edged. We've got wages and prices and rent. When you're in the domain of market norms, you get what you pay for, and that's just the way it is. People accept that. So what happens when we develop customer relationships and social norms collide with market norms? Dan reported that an experiment in a daycare center tested the interchangeability of social norms and market norms. Parents usually viewed their relationship with the daycare center as social, but when there arose a problem of parents picking up their children late, the center imposed a fine on latecomers, and that introduced a market rule. The number of late parents, then, they actually increased because the parents felt, hey, I'm paying to be late, so it's no big deal if I'm late, and they no longer felt any guilt or social obligation to arrive on time. So the daycare center realized this wasn't working, and they reversed the fine, and that's when Dan really saw something interesting. Because the market norm was now gone, the customers also felt that the company had offended the social norm, so it no longer applied. So the number of parents arriving late to pick up their children actually skyrocketed because they felt no guilt and there was no market punishment for picking up their children late. Dan summed this up by asserting when a social norm collides with a market norm, the social norm goes away for a long time. Social relationships are not easy to reestablish. So how does this relate to business? Let me tell you a story about a normally reasonable person who got caught in the crosshairs of social norms versus market norms, resulting in slightly deranged behavior. And I'll admit in advance, the story is about me. 2 years ago, my husband and I were planning a trip to Maine. We'd love to go to Alaska, but at this point, we were going to Maine a couple years ago. We chose to vacation there primarily because Maine has a lot of natural beauty and wildlife, specifically the bird puffin. I heard you could take a puffin-watching cruise, and I was enamored at once. We sorted through all the puffin-watching websites to choose the best-sounding ones. It took you right to the Maine Puffin Island, where you would disembark and likely be only 4 feet away from a puffin. The website even had a charming story about the boat, company, and the captain. All of the warm, fuzzy feelings and my active imagination had put me solidly into relationship, social norm territory with this company, and I hadn't even called them yet. When I did call them, I had to leave several messages on their voicemail. Each message assured me that someone would take my reservation, so I wasn't worried yet. I felt like I was already their friend. Well, what's any few missed calls between friends, right? Finally, someone answered my call. She was rude, abrasive, and she crushed my hopes of seeing puffins up close and personal. The boat was full. They don't keep waiting lists. Then she hung up on me. After I got over my grief, I became curious. I signed up for a Yelp.com account and wrote a scathing review. To give my review clout, I even reviewed animal-related attractions I had been to in other cities. How dare they promise to show me puffins and take it all away? I seethed over this betrayal for weeks. Just ask my unfortunate husband. To me, our relationship was based on social norms. To the puffin-watching company, we didn't even have a relationship. I was just a person they forgot to call back for months. They thought they made a simple customer service mistake that didn't affect their business. After all, they filled the boat up, right? Maybe, but my Yelp.com review remains immortal. Developing relationships with your customers is the surest route to earning their loyalty, continued business, and enthusiastic referrals. However, unless you tend the relationship with care, you risk creating a jilted customer. And we all know the adage, hell hath no fury like a customer scorned. So how do we create good relationships? Referring again to Steve Yastro's book, We, he advocates creating special kinds of relationships that he calls we relationships. And the goal is to get your customer to think we instead of us and them when thinking about their relationship with you. Yastro provides a lot of advice on how to accomplish this goal. It involves learning about your customer and using the information you glean to develop a relationship that feels unique, fresh, and equally valuable to both customer and company. To learn more about creating these relationships, I encourage you to visit my website, www.zooinajungle.com. I have a blog there for small businesses, and I write about marketing topics that are important to small businesses, like creating relationships, building profits, saving money on your marketing budget, design tips, and some technology advice. So that's relationship marketing, and back to you, Dave.